Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get 2 snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Hey, everybody, it's beloved podcaster Mort Burke. I'm sorry, podcaster, comedian, actor, wellness coach, fitness guru. What else am I working on right now? I'm the opposite of a crypto bro. I'm trying to form a niche space where I talk people out of crypto. It's going good. It's going really, really well. Welcome to Rebrand. Guys, I want to let you know ahead of the show's time that we have a Patreon. God, it's fun. You get all kinds of fun stuff. You get episodes that are ad-free. You get video episodes that you haven't seen. We do hangouts occasionally, Ashley and I. We've got one coming up, right, producer Danny, don't we?
Yep, 15th.
The 15th coming up. That's going to be a fun one. So you get to ask questions, things of that nature. Did that sound sarcastic when I said that?
No.
That sounded sarcastic when you responded.
I'm British. I always sound sarcastic.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
All right. I see. No.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. There's no amount of water to make that less dry. So it's $5 to join our beloved Patreon. Danny, artist, producer, Danny Wright, does so much production. She keeps it really fun, so we're grateful for her Patreon work. That's $5. We're rebrand the pod on Patreon.com. Or is it rebrand the podcast? I think it's rebrand the podcast on Patreon.
Yeah, rebrand the podcast.
Okay, I'm gonna edit that out. Great. I'm going to fix this up. And
yep.
Now we're just going straight to the episode, you guys. This is Rebrand, a podcast where we take old, stupid, stinky ideas or just stuff we think is interesting and could use a little touch up, and we rebrand it. It could be religious institutions. We did an episode on death. We could do a music genre. We could do once our first episode rebranded Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a dramatic actor, where he changed his name to Dwayne The Actor Johnson. And that was before his Oscar play. So, I don't know, pretty powerful precognizance on our part, I would say. Today, I'm joined with our lovely producer, the multi-talented, the so British it sounds fake, it's Danny Wright, everyone.
Hi. Here I am, so British it sounds fake.
I had the same thing with my buddy James. I went to his parents' house and they lived on Staten Island, and his dad sounded like this. I was like, you're so from New York, you sound like a cartoon bear.
I say that I just trick people into thinking that I'm actually funny with my accent. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
One of my American friends decided to describe my accent as the quintessential English accent. I don't know how to take that.
No, I think it's right. It's AI yeah. would die to replicate your exact accent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I had a dream about a British person, you are what they would sound like. They're in like the recesses of our subconscious is what British sounds okay. like.
Yep. Sounds good.
What do we sound like to you? I imagine if I were you, I would probably sound like a guy who owns 13 dogs in a small backyard.
Now, The thing is the last time some American asked me this, I think I offended them.
Yeah, yeah. You said like so, gun-toting high school dropout?
No. So when I was younger and was in theater, they tried to teach us the American accent, and the way that they would teach us, and I didn't say I could do the American accent, we all know I cannot. Mm. They tried to teach us by saying it goes through your nose.
Huh.
Which, yeah, it makes sense that it goes through the nose. But so it sounds nasally.
Yeah, so we sound nasally. We sound like, hi, my name's me.
Yeah. Like that.
No. But a little.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah.
I'm fascinated by accents because especially with comedy, there's people who have fun voices. Like they just have a cool rhythm or like an interesting tonality, whether it's like a rapper, like a voiceover artist, you know what I mean? So an accent can do a lot of work in like affecting how people think about you.
I will say one of my favorite things is when Americans put on English accents.
Yeah.
Don't know why. I find it hilarious.
Right. It's got to be that. Well, that's what I really want you to do, your American accent. We should do this entire thing. Well, I'm being British and you're being American. Will you do where if you sound like you're from Texas or something?
I can't tell the difference between all the American accents.
Well, right. It all sounds like one big stew. One big gumbo.
Yeah. The most I will do an American accent is when my niece goes through. I told you about my niece has an American accent phase.
Uh-huh. Like from TikTok, basically?
It must be. But like when she meets like my American friend, she gives them 101 questions just so she can study. She's like proper studying their voice.
We're still the lighthouse on the hill, baby, despite the descent into fascism.
Yeah. So the only time I will do an American accent is when I am playing along with her.
Yeah.
But
does she think yours is good?
No, she thinks it's awful.
Really?
Yeah, she's very honest.
Yeah. They are these from the mouths.
She's like, Auntie Danny, no.
No, sounds bad. Awful. Embarrassing.
Awful. Awful. I don't know. Awful. Wait. See, that's the thing. You always go for like the I want to call it like gutter rap, but that's not the term for it.
Right. I find that one the easiest to do. I think that's probably where my people came from. There's probably some like generational memory there that doesn't allow me to put the G on the end of words.
Yeah, I just get very like something will stick in my head. Like especially when I'm listening to like a lot of the podcasts I listen to are American, and like sometimes a phrase will get said, and like I just have to repeat it in my head. Like certain podcasts, like the very very intro, I find myself repeating.
Yeah.
And I cannot say it correctly at all, but I will just go around my house with my AirPods in, repeating words in American. Right.
So give us one phrase. You don't even have to say it in American in the accent. Just is there an example of something an American thing you like to repeat? We call that stimming, by the way. I stim a great deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one thing I cannot help but repeat is Dungeons and Daddies, because at the top of the podcast, they always say Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. And I keep on repeating that. And they all say it slightly differently. Mm. And each time, like, I'll mimic it in that way. And I can't help myself.
That's fun.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll just randomly say it.
Rowdy, horny. Podcast
Dungeons and Daddies.
Dungeon Dare.
Not a BDSM book.
My American impression would always be like, I sure would like some more mayonnaise. No, thank you. I don't care to read. That's my impression of an American.
See, I was going to say, how can you do an American accent when you're an American? But then I can do different English accents when I'm English, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That does make there is a vast array of different accents.
Well, and the longer I've lived in California for 15 years now, so I was like horrified to realize that I have the vocal fry.
Oh.
Like a valley girl from the early 80s.
No.
That can sound like that.
I think the one thing that always makes me laugh, and I've been told it's an LA accent thing, is sometimes when you say horror, it sounds like whore.
Yeah, whore.
Yeah, it sounds like cool.
Right, right.
And when you get a whole sentence, it's like,
yeah,
yeah. That's Different kind of sentence there.
We go see a horror movie? Like, I don't, you got to be more specific. That's, well, and it's because in LA, it's not about sunshine and beaches. So we're just like too lazy to fully articulate the consonants, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, technically, like, southern accents can be like that quite a lot.
Right.
But...
And I'm just kidding. Actually, I think it's really like having lived in LA for a long time, like, people, they really are a lot. There are so many incredibly hardworking, like, craftspeople in Los Angeles. It's really incredible the amount of, like, work that goes into any shitty television show to make it look like it exists in a suburban house that's actually built in a 2 weeks inside of a studio and then taken down and then built again. Like, people think Los Angeles is, like, lazy and stuff, but it's people here are, like, incredibly hardworking and dedicated and very stupid. Yeah. But I'm just kidding.
I mean, hey, I lived in London for 5 years. Like, I get it to an extent.
Right, right. We're going to rebrand podcasts.
Yep. Let's finally take it on.
Which is like an American doing an American accent, which I think is fun.
And a podcast is like an American doing an American accent.
Doing a podcast about rebranding podcasts is like being an American trying to do an American accent. You know what I mean? It's like if we rebranded this show, it's like, all right, yeah. So, which we need to do, by the way. And we're grateful to all our listeners. But guys, if you want the show to continue, get it out to your people. We got to start making cash here.
Please.
Daddy needs the bag, you guys. I can't talk. We got to see a little bit of cash flow. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Guys,
can't be
like...
expecting this. And I'm a gifted professional comedian. I can't be doing this stuff for free my entire life. The truth is, though, that I love podcasting.
Yeah, yeah. I would not do half of the stuff that I do for Rebrand if I didn't enjoy it.
It's really fun. And it comes from doing improv for a long time, and then I do so much stand-up, and I miss the collaborative stuff, so I really like talking to people and messing around and stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah, and you can really, like, make it your own, and the thing with podcasts is it's become, like, I don't know about you, but I don't really watch TV anymore. I'll watch, like, if there's a special thing on Netflix, like, I'll watch YouTube quite a lot. But podcast is my main thing. Like, I constantly have a podcast on.
Right.
Like,
we talk about branding first, usually on the show. And I think that, at least in America, the brand of the podcast is totally associated with, like, the right-wing-esque comedy world because it became so huge. So everybody's like, everybody hates the word podcast is kind of a punchline. First of all, because it's an embarrassing word. Like, any word for technology invented past the 2010s is, like, an off. Just the sound of podcast aesthetically is, like, it sounds like a old bowl of soup in a dumpster or something. It's just a terrible sounding word. But I think people really associate it with, like, Joe Rogan and stuff because they got so huge, right? But the reality is it's just a medium like anything else. It's a conversation effectively. So you can do anything you want with it. And there have been a lot of obviously really great podcasts that have kind of broken through that are their own sort of, like, genre breaking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like Dead Eyes or something like that, that which was sort of like a fun, almost like a mystery in a way, or, you know, a journey on a man with a man on his, like, process of his work and art, which you can't do. It's like the ability to make a documentary, but you don't need a whole film crew, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, I think the thing with podcasts is depending on where you're in, like, there's so many different factors that put into, like, tastes. Like, I know that my female friends and my male friends, like, will like different, like, types of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's the whole stereotype of white women in their 30s have a true crime podcast. Mm. Like, yes, I do listen to a few true crime podcasts. I can't help myself.
Right.
But, like, you know, and I have friends that use it to learn. I have friends that use it for, like, music.
Mm.
And
okay, so what are the learning ones?
The learning ones are, like, history.
That's cool. So just, like, I want to learn about World War II or whatever. And then
yeah,
whole,
or, like specialist ones. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, they've got a specialist. You think of the thing is, in today's day and age, if you can think of a podcast topic, it's already done.
Totally.
Like, everyone has a podcast at some point. Like, it's already out there. I think the niche thing of the thing that you've got to do with podcasts is to find the niche. And to find the thing that breaks through. And if you can't find the thing that breaks through the mold, then it's not going to go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But when you do find that, it's something really special, I think. I think
Yeah.
There's so many different areas that podcasts can impact and help with that aren't just some listening entertainment, which is what I really like about them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my main thing with podcasts is the communities and stuff it can build.
Right. I know, that's so, like, it's like a big part of your life.
Yeah, yeah, like literally. So I'm just chronically online, to be perfectly honest. But I have a large group of friends that we meet up purely because of a podcast show that we went to. Met at the live show, and we've started a Discord group. We're still in that Discord group. We're constantly we're cheering people on. Mm. Like, me getting the confidence to do the art that I do and to sell it would not have happened if it wasn't for that group of people.
So beautiful. And just to me shows like I said this before in a previous podcast, because this is my third podcast today. Listen to the Daily Zeitgeist, guys, if you want hilarious political commentary. But that I think community is as important as like sunshine and food for people. You know what I mean? I think it really, really is. I think we it's torture to be isolated, and we've isolated ourselves. And so what you're talking about is that, yeah, that's so great. And you found your own like supportive family sort of esque experience through shared interest. It's rad.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like it's probably the same with every kind of thing that you enjoy. But like, I think with podcasts in particular, especially where they can get so niche, you tend to find the same sort of people gravitating towards them.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed a lot of neurodiversity in the podcast community.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. So we all very much like bounce off each other.
And so how much of that do you think has to do with this? Because I have this too. I'm neurodivergent. I have like social anxiety. How much of that do you think has to do with a certain level of remove from the experience of interacting with another person? Like, there's a level of control in between you and me because I just get to type. It's why people would much rather text someone than make a challenging phone call. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much easier to be like, hey, we're done, send, than it is to like look at a human being in the same room with them and be like, here are the reasons why I don't feel our relationship is working out.
Yeah, I mean, first off, with podcasts, you don't have to make eye contact with anybody.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, totally.
I think like the thing is that,
yeah, no, I think it's like a really beautiful thing for people who have social challenges to find each other and have these relationships as experiences that are more like tailored to what is pleasant for them, you know, what's not painful.
Really. And I think one of the things that I use podcasts a lot for is that my brain is constantly working. I will be having a conversation with somebody and I will have about 10 different lines of thought going on at the same time.
Yep.
So it's very difficult for me to latch onto something sometimes. It's very difficult for me to focus. If I have a podcast, that is my background noise. Mm-hmm. That replaces my inner monologue.
Right.
To an extent.
Yes.
And it's usually I will listen to the same podcast over and over again because I know it. It still makes me laugh, but it gives me that background noise and I can't have the silence. I need the noise.
Yeah, this is why I brought you on to talk to you about this, Danny. What is hiding? What shadows are hiding in the silence that cannot be heard or felt?
Well, you don't really want to know about it. Yeah.
It's true though. And I think so I'm just going to speak to this as like, I'm a spiritual person. I pursue spirituality, right? So like I learned how to meditate because I knew I needed to do it because it was so goddamn hard. And part of that was related. It's a bunch of things, certain levels of like compulsivity that come with my neurodivergence, you know. It's hard for me to sit still, but also there's like this intensely critical voice that was in my head, right? And so now I like this idea of like making the other voices louder, right? So the thing is like this critical voice, it's not like I can just be mean to it long enough, it'll go away. That's not how it works. Because it's born of that kind of meanness, you know? The problem is the engine behind it is one of like, you're not good enough until you blank. But the reality is that there's never going to be a like good enough. you know?
No.
So, I love that. And I relate. Like, I'm very the same. I do a lot of recovery stuff online. I do tons of like spiritual podcasts. I don't do that. I don't listen to that much comedy because I do comedy. You know what I mean? But yeah. So I'm totally with you. And also I think that I think there's a beauty in silence once you get beyond the nightmare of your own unfettered experience.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll get there more.
No, and it's true. And every if whatever, like people get to it or they don't when they're ready. I don't mean to force it because it's true. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that bullshit thing that to me doesn't make sense in like my busy world where I'm just trying to get shit done and like make enough money to pay rent. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think as well, one of the great things of when you can have a podcast or something to block things out is that I get more done. I just do.
Yeah.
Like I can draw and listen to a podcast at the same time. I'm not going to sit here and just stare at a wall and listen to a podcast.
Right.
I'm going to do something else. And I'm a brilliant multitasker when I want to be.
Yeah.
So it keeps me going. It keeps me moving.
Same. Yeah, I'm always I'm rocking these podcasts and meetings and stuff when I'm doing the dishes, washing the dog. And it's cool because for me, I've been able to like choose these aspects of my – I listen to like a lot of really positive stuff intentionally because it often replaces my negative voices so that I'm just getting like a more optimistic view on the world, which is something that's very difficult for me to manufacture myself, which wasn't a problem until it became a fucking problem.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
It's all fun and games in your 20s until you're like, damn, I really do wish I was dead. That makes it hard to do stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Or figure out another framework in which to exist.
The existential dread settles in.
Yeah, man. I feel like I was born into existential dread, and that's why I'm at. That's why I'm where I am now, because I've, like, I can't live with it too long. I get all fucking goofy. All right. Let's go back to – so you mentioned music podcasts. That's something – you're saying people can, like, learn how – when you said that, do you know specifically what you're referring to? I just – let's finish the Stevie Wonder series, which was, like, I can't remember, 7 episodes about his run, his perfect album run from – I think it's Inner Visions and then Hotter – all the way to Hotter Than July. But as, like, as a music nerd, that's, like, that's my shit.
Yeah, see, I'm not a music nerd. I have friends that are music nerds, and they would be like, "Oh, wait, they've told me they listen to music podcasts." I'll be honest, I don't know what that entails.
Yep.
I have like a handful of podcasts that I listen to on repeat and have done for years.
Yep.
And that's what I go for, to be perfectly honest.
You want
to
shout them out? I know it's these D&D, these Dungeon Daddies.
It is Dungeon Daddies. It's so my very first podcast that I listened to was probably a true crime podcast.
Uh-huh.
Funnily enough, one of the first podcasts that I listened to was 30 Morbid Minutes, which I believe is Elise's podcast.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah. Williams, former guest.
Because my husband came in while I was listening to it and was like, I recognize that voice because she's guested on other podcasts. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, wow. She's the best, man. I love Elise.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been listening to that for years. And then there's like all the true crime ones, like Morbid, which is American, like Red Handed, which is a British. Like, what?
Yeah. So there's those.
Red Handed has won awards.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Who take the piss out of Red Handed? No. Red Handed is pretty good. The first non. The first one that wasn't true crime or anything that I listened to was Good Morning from Hell.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Which I just did an episode on and we're going to have very soon.
Yeah, we are. But no, that was the first podcast. I think I said to them, I told them that once and they were like, so we were your first fake crime podcast. Like, yeah. and then things like horror can be really good in podcasts. Like
horror?
Horror, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I didn't even thought of that.
There's one that I love called The Magnus Archives.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically, it's another British podcast. It's you've got an archivist that's going through all these different archives, finding all these different stories that people have like submitted. And there's this whole like 100 episode arc where it's such good twists and it's terrifying. Like that, I don't get scared easy. I grew up watching horror films and loving them, but like there are a couple episodes of that that I was like, okay, my brain can think of a lot of scary things imagining that in my head than I ever could with a film.
Way worse, like leaving it to the imagination, doing the like theater of the mind thing, and then letting your darkness like attach to that is terrifying.
Yeah, and it can be such a creative stimulant, like things like that. Like I taught myself how to draw by using podcasts. Like that's how I did it, because I would listen to podcasts, something would stick in my head. Like with Rebrand, the first thing I ever drew was that horse wearing Crocs.
Yeah, because powerful. Iconic.
Because I you guys said horse wearing Crocs, and I was like, well, I need to see that now. So I've got to draw that to see that.
Yep. Thus the artist was born.
The artist was born. But yeah, no, like most of the things that I've like drawn has been podcast related for a while.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's podcasts are your muse partially as well. Yeah, that's fun. I love it. Yes. Okay, cool. And then all the comedy ones. Yeah, I just think it's like anything. You know, I love hip hop because I feel like it's limitless. You know, in my, there's just, you can do an infinite amount of things with that genre of music, I believe. And the same thing with podcasts. It's like you can effectively do nearly anything with it. And I think, and it's so like accessible. It's very like, I know it is a joke that everyone has a podcast, but it's also like, that's kind of cool, actually, because there is a level of like, there is a level of creativity to it, and human beings need to be creative. I believe that, you know? So like, if you like talking, if you enjoy, that's the cool thing. Like, if I like talking and expressing myself and talking to people and I have fun. So if you can do that, and then there's also like the graciousness of the audience, you know, the older I get, the more I do stand up, the more I really, really realize how long I've been fortunate by having so many people come out to see me live.
Yeah.
It's such a symbiotic relationship, you know?
100%. I think podcasts can have like massive impacts on people and like really help them through stuff. And like the butterfly effect that podcasts can cause is tremendous. You know, whether people realize it or not, I think the... Why is my brain gone?
Yeah, that happens on podcasts also. It happened last week. Ashley had like a mini stroke and couldn't speak for three, four minutes.
Ashley's not here, so I'm doing it on her behalf.
But it is, it's like, to me, there's this also desire in humanity to like learn and teach, right? Both of those things. So it's like, the more connected the world gets, there's like nefarious aspects of that. But the one really cool aspect of it is like, oh, we have access to what feels like an infinite amount of information. And that's really beautiful. We're like, okay, I know this thing. I want to share it with people. And then, and then we're all building up our level of understanding, you know?
Exactly. And that reminds me exactly what I was going to say before I blanked my brain. So with podcasts, I think one of the great things, one of my biggest beliefs that I've had for years and years and years is, you know, I didn't have the easiest childhood and stuff like that. But I always think that if I can help one person, then something's worth it.
Yeah.
And with podcasts, if nobody listens to it but one person, and that one person was like, do you know what, you really brightened my day, or, you know, you inspired me to do this, then fuck it, it was worth it.
I'm so into that. I'm because for a long time, like, I think I started doing like improv and sketch and stuff when I was 21, and I've been doing comedy my whole life. And like since then, and I was really, I took it for granted when I was like a cynical, like cool dude with ripped jeans in my 20s, people would be like, that's a real gift. Like to be able to make people laugh, you know, and I was like, it's not even, to me, it was like, it's almost, it felt like I was like, it's just fucking something I have to do. It's not like, I'm not pretending like I'm giving everybody sunshine every time I say make a queef joke. You know what I mean? But I think there is like, there's something really And two, it's funny because I always grew up with funny people. Like, you're funny, Ashley's so funny, all my friends have been really funny. So to me, I'm like, yeah, everybody can kind of be funny. But the reality is like, there are lots of people who are like, oh, I haven't heard any humor for a week. You know, it's like those people desperately need some fucking...
You can't live like that.
Yeah, dude. People need... And like, not everybody can do it. I assumed they could, you know? So I totally agree. Like, helping people in any capacity, whether that's exposing, making them laugh, exposing... Maybe it's like a dietary thing. Maybe you've got like some kind of chronic pain thing that you were able to like... You learned from a podcast that you needed to eat different or whatever, you know, like all that stuff.
Exactly. Like, I have had podcasts affect, like, you know, I'm very open and about it with people that know me. Like, I had like poor mental health for a long time, and like certain podcasts have helped me realize when I need help. And like, because people are open about how they are and their journey through podcasts and things, it's sort of, it gives me that kick up the butt, like, to help myself. Like, I recently found out that I was misdiagnosed with something in my early 20s, and I got the diagnosis revoked like last week. And I would never have done that if it wasn't for podcasts.
Wow. And that's such a big thing. Is it going to change like a medication, or is it, you have to do things differently
now? Yeah. So basically,
you don't have to get specific if you don't want, but.
Nah, it's fine. So like basically in my early 20s, my doctor told me I had bipolar.
Uh-huh.
And I very much like, I was like, okay, that's weird. Don't like that. I'm running away. I'm not dealing with that. And then
that's what doctors recommend,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sprint like, out of the office and never see another physician.
Yeah, like, excuse me, I don't like that diagnosis. Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to walk away.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I'm pretty cool. I actually think I'm chill. So
yeah, exactly.
I relate, dude. There's big stuff that you don't want to deal with, man. I guess
exactly. But because I listened to it was a Dungeons and Daddies one. It was because Beth May is very open about her diagnosis and has the amazing Beth Wants the D. It made me think, okay, if I actually do have this, or if it is something that is affecting me, I do actually need to address it.
Yeah.
So I got that like, okay, I need to go do this. I'm going to go do this. And yeah, it turns out that because women are extremely brilliant at masking, that most of the time when women are autistic or ADHD, they get misdiagnosed with bipolar. And if it was 5 years ago, I would have been misdiagnosed with an emotional dysregulation disorder.
Right. And before that, it would have been, you're on your period, why don't we stop talking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you know, if it like is, it sounds so silly, but if it wasn't for like a podcast, I wouldn't have thought, okay, right, fine, yeah, I get it. I do actually need to look into this. Yeah. Like, it gives me the kick up the butt. But yeah.
Yeah, man. No, it's really beautiful. And I think that it's this amazing thing where it's like the 4 minute mile, right? Once somebody broke that, then everybody was able to, so many people just broke it over and over and over and over. Like human beings have this thing where when we work together and we collaborate intentionally or not, like we raise levels of things. So mental health is like hearing somebody that's gone through struggles and has taken action to try and affect it, maybe because they had to, maybe because it was that threatening that they had to heal that. Then it can help show us like, oh, you know what? I deserve to see if I can have a quality of life that is better as well, just because as a human being, like, it's short here. Let's try to have as joyous and free a time as possible, I think. While, of course, addressing dark shit, you know, but...
Yeah, and even people being open about dark shit makes people realize that it's not scary sometimes, I think.
Yep.
Like, that's all, like, especially with things like mental health, like, I... envy, like, I know I'm only like 32, but I envy like teenagers and stuff nowadays, because when I was a teenager, when I was at university and everything like that, I did my projects on mental health awareness because it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Like it was known, it was starting to be like, okay, this is kind of coming up. But you know, taking time off work for mental health, like, that's not a thing. Like, children, teenagers or whatever today, I don't think they'll ever fully appreciate how hard it was back then. I think if I was in university now, I don't think I'd do the same, because my original degree was photography with media studies. So what I did was I made a photo book and I interviewed people with various different mental health disorders and got them to write a letter saying what their disorder was and how they would explain it to an alien, basically. Mm. Because nobody talked about it. Like, and the further back you go, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. But now everyone's so open about it. And I think that's one of the things bringing it back to podcasts is that when people on podcasts can be so open about things and you've got these normal people talking in your ears, it's just, it normalizes it. It makes it seem less scary. And then it gives you a moment to reflect and actually do something about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's why I try to be open about like the addiction of my life and the, you know, I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 7 and I only started taking medication for it like 4 years ago and it only started working like 2 years ago. And that's why I talk about the meditation and shit too, because it's like, for me, all of those things have helped and combined have made my life in such a way that it gets, my life is better every single year.
Mm, yeah.
And in a country where we worship youth and pay no attention to the reality of aging and hide death in a corner and pretend that it doesn't happen, like all this weird denial stuff. That's the other thing, is like when people are talking about their experiences in this way where it's like they're just normal people talking about stuff, like I'm saying, kind of a blue collar radio station, basically. It's like, yeah, they're going to be talking about the stuff that is hidden, like mental health issues, you know, and talk about ways in which they've like think like how hard it was. Like you're saying, like talking about the dark shit, not being afraid to talk about like, hey, like this is what suicidal ideations felt like. This is what a psychotic break felt like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we've all, I'm an alcoholic. Like I've had gnarly, one time I threw up so hard I sprained my groin. That's the funny one. You know? And yeah, the doctors were shocked.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, around all that, there's just years and years of like deep emotional and I think spiritual and mental suffering, you know? And so that's why for me, I'm like, yeah, dude, all this stuff, I take all of it, the medication, the spirituality, the meditation, the like all of it. And I just want people to see that for me, I had a bunch of people that showed me that it could get better. And that was super important for me. Like if you see one person who you identify with the challenges that they have, usually just from speaking about their own experience, and then they talk about the ways in which they got better, it's like can be super inspiring.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think like, do you think with podcasts, part of it is the, I can't think of the right word, the lack of regulation on it. Like, unless you're like part of a big network or, you know, some do have parameters, but for the most part, people with podcasts can say what they like. And, you know, it's not like on television where, you know, you have to advertise things in a certain way. You have to do things in a certain way. It's very much more free and free flowing. And maybe it's even a part of like the fact that it's conversational.
Yes.
Helps severely. I mean, there's people that like don't talk to people very often.
Yep.
Like, so if they listen to a podcast, it's like, I've heard people say, oh, you know, it's like I'm listening to my friends. Like, obviously, you know, you've got to be careful with the parasocial line there.
Yep.
But like, it's like having friends in your ear. And, you know, so long as you know the boundary between social, parasocial and all of that jazz, that's absolutely fine. And I think that's something that's quite magical.
I agree. And I think it really is. It's people searching for community again. You know what I mean? And so it's like, if it can get you through this phase where like you don't have very many people around and hopefully keep you going to the point that you can maybe start to, hopefully the universe provides you, or you start taking action around this fact of like, yeah, getting to know some people in real life, like finding people that you can, like you're saying, meet up with the podcast people, go to the podcast show, then like, then do the Discord. It just, it grows the richness of experience of being a human being, you know? And what you're saying about the lack of regulation, I think totally, I think it's really exciting. I think there's probably a bunch of podcasts right now that no one's listening to that are brilliant, like stories being told in entirely new ways. Like somebody's gonna find some podcast in 10 years where they're like, this person documented every aspect of them creating an incredible album no one had ever heard, or writing this novel that no one had ever heard, or creating some new, you know, telling some kind of story that we didn't even know could be told this way. There's this Scorsese quote where he's like, he's talking about the dawn of the digital era, and he's like, from then, and he was being interviewed, and he's saying there's some little girl in like Nebraska or something who has like a little digital camera, and she's going to be the greatest filmmaker of all time. And there's this, I found this person, it's not quite podcast, but there's a YouTube artist named McKenna Green who did this thing called To Be Known, which is like this gorgeous, incredible, like tone poem pastiche art that I randomly was suggested to me on YouTube. And this is just an incredibly gifted like artist who is, it's all about like grieving and losing their partner, but it's like stunningly gorgeous, and you would never get it if there were gatekeepers in this way, right?
Yeah.
But then the other, there's this paradox with it, because the thing about gatekeepers is that if there are gatekeepers, then it does also filter people who are very, very, very good and are able to play the game to the top. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's same thing happens with like movies and skateboarding and all this stuff. It's like, it's bad. Gatekeepers are bad because they keep people out. But then in a way, it can raise the highest stuff pretty high sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the thing is with podcasts as well, like we think people like gatekeepers and stuff like that. I don't think that there's no faults in podcasts, and I don't think there's no faults in the communities of podcasts.
Right.
I've seen some pretty toxic shit in podcasts, but I think it's one of those that it has to be nurtured in the right way and managed in the right way. I think some of the best communities have people managing them and people that care about them to an extent that will really help grow that community.
And that's why we're so excited to have you running our Discord, Danny, for real though, like, because you're a person who cares, and there's such like cool, sweet people on there who are like having interesting, fun, hilarious conversations, and it's great.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that so much. It's something really special about podcasts and stuff like that. And like, there's a couple of, well, that's quite a few to be fair, podcast discords that I'm on. And that's really a really nice breeding ground of like creativity and community and sometimes just funny shit.
So funny. So funny. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's really, and I think that when new technology gets invented, it's usually used first as a weapon, and then later creative aspects are usually found within it that can be really powerful. And I think that's what happened with podcasts. It's like the first thing to blow up is like, of course, because America is built on an Indian burial ground and like has all this fucking shadow gnarly shit that like the first ones to blow up and explode in this huge way are like they only appeal to like 23-year-old white dudes and pull them further to the right or whatever. But underneath that is what you're talking about, I think. This much more longer, I believe, longer lasting sort of human aspect of the situation. And just like, it's a good way to do funny shit also, you know?
Oh, but, yeah.
But I think it's great to talk about kind of the underbelly of like healing and community around it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people that just look at especially people that don't really listen to podcasts, just see it. They don't quite understand the full depth of what podcasts can be, I think.
Yeah.
And I did either.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know Patreon worked like that, or the Discord worked like that. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Patreon and Discord is like, that's my like. Don't get me started on the Patreon. Like, I love that kind of thing so much.
And it's good because you keep me on task with it, which is like, you know, I'm doing all this effectively for free. We're getting paid a little, but it's like, I'm grateful to have you there to be like, don't forget to upload the shit, dude. You know, I'm just the talent, baby. I'm just trying to show up and look good, but I also got to do all this other stuff. So I appreciate
it. I'm just that crack in the whip.
yeah. For real. Which I need because of the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yeah. And then if, you know, it's like you were saying last week with the like body doubling with ADHD people.
Yeah.
Like we can keep each other on track.
Yes. Dude, it's the same thing with like the alcoholics, right? It's like that's once I recognize that like, you have this thing and I recognize it in you, I automatically want to help you. There's a natural like compassion, empathy thing that happens. And part of it's because you don't feel alone. You're like, oh, shit. This thing that feels invisible, all of a sudden I'm seeing it reflected in somebody else. It's an extremely powerful thing.
Yeah. And we are very much like that, I think, as well. Like when you're saying with like, especially like with your editing, you were very bad with your editing at the beginning with the 9-hour edits and stuff. And then I do the same thing. I have a folder of like art on my iPad, and there's probably quite a lot in there that you've never seen because like I just got very perfectionist, or I'd spend 5 hours on the same thing because it didn't look quite right. And, you know, I get it. Like,
yeah,
I still do it now to a certain extent, but I think I've got better. Like last week's episode, did it have two versions of the episode art and you only ever saw one of them? Yes.
Uh-huh.
But we got there in the end.
Right. Well, and that's because we care. Like, we deeply... Okay, there's the thing, like, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look unfunny. There's ego to it for sure. But there's also really a depth of giving a shit about how the way this stuff turns out. And I really am learning to, like... I love that about myself.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a person who, like, cares deeply. Like, I am actually really, really prolific. I just am not always great at getting the work out to people. That's what I'm getting better at. Also, I have a new stand-up special called There's Beauty in It All that's coming up pretty soon. I have the final version now, so just pushing that out there.
Do you have the final version? That's exciting.
I got
exciting.
The final version. I'm gonna be like sending it to some people. So if anybody out there knows anybody who works for HBO Max and wants to put an independently produced brilliant stand-up special on there, let me know.
Yeah, I don't know how it happens to have... uncle, friend.
Yeah, exactly. Any of those like high power executives that have listened to every episode of Rebrand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is great. I love this. To me, it's barely even a rebrand. It's just like saying like, here's what actually, there's so much more to this, to the world of podcasting than you might be aware of.
Yeah, maybe it's a rebrand of people's public perception.
Totally. Like we do with drag queens. Like they don't need to change. You need to chill out.
They
don't
need to change. Yeah.
And like, it's not just fucking Shapiro and like, I don't know. I want to name comedians, but I shouldn't.
I
you know,
I'm very bad at naming anyone, to be perfectly honest. So.
Yeah. Cool. This was fun. How you feel? You feel good?
Yeah, I feel good.
Hell yeah. All right, great. Danny Lee Art, where can we find you?
You find me on Instagram at Danny Lee Art, DanieLeigh Art, because I spell my name weird.
Can I tell you a joke I almost made during the podcast, but I didn't because we were talking about something serious?
Because we're professionals, go on.
Yeah, when you said you got misdiagnosed with something, I was going to say, it was that thing being terminally British?
No, that was something that I was correctly diagnosed with. There was no misdiagnosis
Thank God we're able to prolong your life now. Thank God for the advances in medication and stuff.
Yeah, it's really, you know, there's tea infusions and stuff like that. It takes its toll, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd be swallowed by a top hat. That's usually how your people go. On a penny farthing. All right. You can find us at Rebrand the Pod on Patreon, and you can find us on Instagram at Patreon the Podcast. Join our Discord, you guys. It's $5. We talked about it in this. You get to support this show. We have a lot of fun in there, and we're having fun on this show. So if you wanted to keep going, join that Discord, baby, and go to @MortBurke. I'm posting all kinds of stuff, including like sketches and little bits, and where you can see me do stand up. I'm doing, on the 15th and the 17th, I got shows coming up. In Arcadia, I'm doing the Astronaut Lounge on the 15th, and on the 17th, I'm doing Joel Marshall's therapy show at the Stray Theater. So go to my Instagram to find those dates. Come see me do stand-up. It's a goddamn blast. I love it. And thanks for hanging out. Thanks for doing this, Danny.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, rebrand forever.
Rebrand for life.
Bye. Hell yeah. Okay, great.
Awesome. Did I tell you? You just reminded. So me, one of the other supervisors, we've decided that our post-work activity, once we've all been made redundant, we are having a bonfire where we're going to burn uniform. It's going to be great.
Nice. Wait, you wear a uniform there?
We have polo shirts that we wear, but that's it. Like,
got it. Burn that shit.
And they have like coats and stuff that they give us. Mm-hmm. We have decided that we're going to join a comedy improv group.
Nice.
We don't know where it is. We don't know how to do this, but we're going to do it because we've decided that's what our existential crisis needs to be, is a comedy improv group.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah.
Be a kid in the sandbox. And I say, yeah, you can at least here, there are often classes that you can take. And then usually you'll like meet people who want to do a group together usually.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on in Little Old Southampton, but we'll figure it out.
Hey, I mean, the history of British comedy is like pretty untouchable.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
All right, my friend, I'm going to I gotta close this. Thank you so much for on such short notice.
That's all right.
And yeah, I'll get this posted tomorrow. I'll hit you up on the Discord.
No, awesome. And we've got. Same, it's 1 o'clock for you for the record tomorrow, isn't it?
Is there a record tomorrow?
Yeah, the Good Morning from Hell one.
That's tomorrow?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
You literally changed it for tomorrow.
Dude, look. I believe in a world of wonder and joy, not calendars and schedules.
I am sure, I'm going to double check this, because no, I am right, sure it's right. Tomorrow.
Yeah, and, oh, fucking dude. Ashley's pretty bummed right now, but okay, we'll make it happen.
Oh dear.
She's crazy busy.
Yeah, I get that.
But in like a way that it, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so.
In the way that's just shit.
Well, in a way that it's like fucking hard. Like, whatever. Anyway, it's just a never-ending thing of like shit that she has to do, and it all feels very high pressure and shit. So it's a lot for it's hard. It's a lot for one person.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I mean, we've got Good Morning from Hell, Fable tomorrow, and then the 15th is the hangout thing. I thought I've got Jackbox games installed. I thought we'd just play a game or something, so you don't have to worry about pressure or shit.
Great, I love it. She might not come for that. So
yeah, exactly. And then if she can't make it, then you know, that's absolutely fine because sweet. Jackbox Games is the funniest shit.
That's pretty sweet. Okay, good. That'll be fun.
Awesome.
Got it. Cool. Awesome. Thank you, my friend.
See you later.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.